Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy. Come on.
And we're going to be covering Outlander Season 7, Episode 7, A Practical Guide for Time Travelers, and Season 7, Episode 8, Turning Points.
Yay. That is the end of the first half of Season 7 that is basically the length of an entire season, and for reasons that we will not ever be able to explain, there's a whole another season that they don't call Season 8 before Season 8. So, you know, yeah. We have disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing. Very likely. There will be spoilers for this show. Yep, we are at the end of the first half of Season 7. So yeah, if you're not up to speed on this, there are definitely going to be spoilers for this show. And we are having something to drink. I picked this one. It is the Fever Tree Yuzu Lime Soda. I'd seen it as a mixer for something like maybe a mocktail or something in the Outlander cocktail book. And of course, we're not really giving Season 7 cocktails at this point because it doesn't deserve them. But it's interesting.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a little more seltzery than I was expecting it to be.
So. Yeah, it is.
Well, whatever. But it's not bad.
No, I'm still drinking it.
Natalie is still sick, by the way.
Yeah.
So just in case you're wondering why I'm doing a lot of talking, it's because Natalie is still sick. So, let's get started.
Season 7, Episode 7, A Practical Guide for Time Travelers. Where do we even begin?
Yeah, we've got the past. We've got we've got 1777 and 1977. I think more happens in 1977, to be honest, in this episode. So why don't we just get the 1777 stuff out of the way. They're at Saratoga. It's right before the first battle of Saratoga. And by they, I'm talking about Jamie, Claire, young Ian, the Hunter brother and sister, and of course the Continental Army. And also, of course, William is trying to be part of that battle because he is on the British side. Wee Willie, that would be Wee Willie Fraser, but not Fraser because he thinks he's Lord John Grayson, but he's not. And he's in fact Jamie's. For those of you who have not been keeping up, he talks to the guy who had been trying to get him to run spy messages before, and that guy's like, "Hey, I want you to go and run some more spy stuff for me because we just found out General Howe is not going to Albany to help us like cut off the Continental Army. He's going to Philadelphia instead because he's that guy." And they want Willie to run these messages. And Willie's like, "No, I want to be in the battle. I can be helpful in the battle." And he, in this episode, is talking to some other soldier with a blonde guy. He has a red shirt on.
And he has a red jacket on, obviously out of uniform, but he has a red shirt. But it's
like a Star Trek red shirt.
And the thing is, like, we don't really learn anything about him other than he, like, likes to fuck around with, like, not, like, it's just, like, general guy stuff.
Boy. Yeah, he's a frat boy. So
it's not like, even, like, fucking around with
he's like, "Oh, let's like, take a bottle of champagne from this dinner and, you know, like, let's talk about girls." You know, he's that guy.
Yeah.
So it's a little, but he's somebody that clearly Willie likes as opposed to the frat boys who burned the whore in whatever town that was a couple episodes ago. Mm-hmm. So he likes this guy. But we see that Jamie, because he's in this new regiment with the rifle people, has a new outfit. And his outfit involves this really dumb, like, buckskin with fringe kind of thing. That, you know, I'm not saying that that's not what they wore, but it looks like just a weird costume thing for him. Yeah. And, yeah, whatever. It's just...
It seems a bit high for it to hit him as hard, but...
Yeah, so...
It seems like it would probably graze. However...
By the way, we also have this new plot line in Season 7, Part 1, which is that Claire needs glasses.
Yay. Just generally, it's just this, it's a run-of-the-mill battle episode where like they're preparing for the battle. Claire's concerned for Jamie's safety, and they have to come up with a new way to say goodbye. And so he says, "Kiss me, Claire." And she's
And
like,
there's
"Okay."
music. And she goes, "Of course I'll kiss you." You know,
I'm
like
just
any
like,
of
well, of
us.
course you do. Like, but you kiss each other like at every opportunity you get. Like,
Yes.
this isn't new. And so they do that, and they're off to battle. And oh no, the battle is crazy. And William. I think this is a turning point for William's perspective on the war because he specifically asked his commanding officer, "Hey, can I not be sent off to like help get reinforcements? Can I go into battle?" And he's like, "All right, if you want to."
Well, and it's important that the commanding officer is General Fraser, who is Jamie's cousin from Scotland. He's, that comes up later, so I'm just going to reiterate that Willie has developed a relationship with this general who is a relative of Jamie's.
Yep. And so he sees his friend die and he sees a lot of other people die. And then after the battle, he's like, "All right, well, you guys are not going to dig a shallow grave for these people. Like, dig a proper mass grave,
Right.
at least a little bit deeper, so that they aren't just going to have like body parts hanging out of the fucking grave."
Oh,
Like,
and right, that animals could,
exactly. So
do something
you don't want this to be like an easy find, you know? And so that shows a lot of chutzpah.
with.
And
The
I
general likes this.
also kind of like it because
Yeah, I do
I
too.
like
It's
the
just
respect that it
character.
shows of
Yeah.
like, that could have been me. If I were dead, I'd want this proper respect.
Right, and he gets in and starts digging himself, so that's a good thing.
Yeah,
But
he doesn't have like his grunts do it.
right, well, the grunts are obviously assisting, but
Well, yeah, no, they
and
don't
actually they
stop.
started it, so whatever. But they want to stop, and he's like, no, it goes needs to go deeper. So, the British are claiming victory in this Battle of Saratoga, but essentially what happened is that they didn't have to give up any ground, and they were able to get back to the fort without losing, like a whole bunch of people. And the Continental Army kind of fell apart. They charged, including the rifle people, including Jamie. Jamie got his hand sliced open, and oh, cliffhanger for this episode.
He's
He's
unconscious.
unconscious on the battlefield, and they want us to believe that
It's
he's dead.
such a cheap fake out.
It is. It
It
is
is the cheapest thing.
Jamie fake out death. How many numbers are we on now in the show?
I
I
think
don't
it's
even.
just two. At least, well, no.
No, there were previous seasons there have been Jamie fake out deaths.
The only other one I was thinking of was in season three, but
Whatever. Anyway,
either way.
so Jamie is a spoiler for the next episode, not dead. But
Friends.
that's pretty much the episode in the 1770s
Yep.
period. There's not much there. I mean, honestly, I keep looking at like maybe there's something now.
Meanwhile, in the 1970s, things are going batshit insane. And
Yeah.
so that guy that was caught outside of the castle earlier by Roger, the traveler,
Yes.
he is recast.
Yeah, he's a recast. So what he is Dougal Mackenzie's grandson. And
His son.
oh right, his son with Galas. Right. So he had been when we had seen him at the Battle of Alamance, played by Graham McTavish. And this is part of the reason why we did not recognize him because, like, hey, they're acting like we should know who this guy is, and we clearly do not.
And the last time we saw this character, actually, sorry, the only time we saw this character, he was knocking Roger out because he was even deigning, like deeming to talk to his wife. And he is a very jealous guy and he doesn't want anyone anywhere near his wife and his child. And so he has his people, his friends, I guess, take him to go get hanged. And obviously Roger survived and
And he's like, "Well, I don't know what I'm dealing with. He might be super magical, risen from the dead. I don't know."
I would also just like to say that it is extremely bizarre that he is, first of all, here. Like, not just in this century, but in Scotland. Because last
Right.
time we saw him, he was in America, at the colonies.
Right.
He had seemed to be putting down roots there. And so him being like, "Oh, I went through the ones at Craig na Dune," and I'm like, Right. Why?
Right. He says something about coming back to Scotland after the Battle of Alamance. His wife, who we had met, Morag, she was the woman on the boat that Roger had helped. Like she went off with another guy or something. I don't know. It's weird. And so he went back to Scotland to do some kind of work there, and he went through the stones at Craignadoon accidentally.
But here's the other thing. It's like he got to the new version of, like, obviously it's the 1970s, and he randomly, like, Craignadoon is kind of far, a far walk from the village. And
in
so,
Inverness, you mean?
Yes, and it's not even a village, it's Inverness. But so he literally goes to Inverness, sees Roger come out of a shop one day, and then just follows him. I don't know how he follows him
because
when he
Roger's
clearly has
car.
To drive. I don't know how he did that, and also why he like was acting all creepy with the children and saying weird shit. And it's just like, what are you talking about?
Well, what he says is that he wanted to find out like what's going on and if there's a way to get back and stuff like that. Like,
just talk to him.
He figured they would know, but it's like, why wouldn't you?
Why would you not
like,
go
knock on the door and say, hey? You might remember me. From
such time than when I got you hanged. Like, it's such hits, such as
I mean, you might want to kill me, but I need some help.
Either way, they have this whole thing where, oh, Rob Cameron's coming to dinner without any notice, because that's such a fuck
thing.
Yeah,
no, and he just drives up and hops out of his car with
a bottle of wine. He's like, I've got a bottle of wine. And so...
fuck is this?
William McKenzie's his name, has to hide.
I don't even remember his name. I keep calling him cousin.
Everyone's named William. And I put WM in my notes because I don't fucking care who this man is. I will tell you right now, he has absolutely no bearing on the story for me whatsoever.
Not to my recollection, no. And
either way,
anyway,
they are trying to hide that he's there. And
they put him in the priest hole with a peanut butter sandwich. So before that, they reveal that they're related, and that's why Roger had helped Morag, and that, like, that makes this William person his multi-generational great-grandfather, and he's like, damn, I need to drink some whiskey. So they put him in the priest hole while Sir Philip is like, hey, you know, let's eat. And it's the longest fucking meal. And you can tell that Brianna and Roger are kind of like, please get out of here. Please get out of here. Please get out of here. Like, the whole time. But Sir Philip's like having fun with the kids. And right at the, like, there's an early time when they're trying to hide him that Sir Philip is allowed to be in the study to look at some of the songs that Roger had from the class that they took. And Roger just leaves him in there. Like, you haven't already figured out that this guy has looked at your weird time travel diary.
And wanted to read more.
And you leave him alone for, like, while they're cooking the whole dinner kind of thing. And then he comes out.
Leaving your guest alone at all.
Right.
It's kind of weird. You could have just brought the manuscripts with them into the kitchen so that they could talk, drink, and have
a chat. Like,
make dinner.
Yeah. But
like, that's normal hosting.
Yeah. But not in Lollyrock, apparently. And I guess they're trying to make it out like it's still not well, you know, like, fully renovated or something.
It's not,
but their place is to sit. They've been sitting with this William dude. They can figure it out. They don't try. And they still, like, eat in the castle. They are sleeping in
the caravan
that they have. And they have, like, TV or whatever set up. But the kids seem to really like Sir Philip. And Sir Philip, at the end of it, is like, oh, yeah, I'm estranged from my wife. She's in France with my son, and it's really nice to hang out, like, with people with kids. And, hey, I was going to take my nephew to the movies, and the nephew's in the same class as Jemmy. You know, Jemmy can come with us and spend the night. And they're like, yeah, sure, fine, please go away. and so they set up this, like, play date or spend the night for the following night. Sir Philip also, like, uh, oh, No. So
Brianna has to take
your ancient relative to work.
But like, what job would just be like, sure, this unqualified person can come onto a work site?
Wait. And this is like a major, these days would be a major security breach because you're dealing with a dam. This is like power.
There's so many things like, even like at a corporate office job, that's weird as hell.
So many red flags you're bringing, like this ancient dude. But ancient dude meets Sir Philip while he's on the job with Brianna. He's like, I don't like this man.
And he thinks he's flirting with Brianna.
And he tells Roger this after he gets back.
And Roger's like, I'm not worried.
Yeah, I'm not worried, but he's also like,
And so later on that night, he's talking to Brianna, and he's just like, apparently Rob Cameron is like flirting with you. What is that about? And she's just like, oh, I don't know.
I'm his boss. I can make him do stuff.
Yeah. And so it's obviously like foreplay, which leads to sex. And
it's very cute.
And I like it a lot.
Except that they're playing In the Air Tonight, which is a song that did not come out until 1981. And this is 1977. So this is a fucked up time thing, and which matters to me because I was around when In the Air Tonight came out.
Also, something to note, Roger told William that he found in his records that his death year is 1978, or 1778. That would be really weird. 1778. So that means his family either thought he was dead, or he doesn't return back to his time, or when he does return back to his time, he dies.
Right, so 1778 is when he said he went through the stones, and so that's going to be something that they kind of try to figure out as things go along. It may or may not be relevant to something.
Literally, like this whole subplot with Roger and fucking William, I could not care less. Unless it pertains to the Brianna arc, which when they branch off, which they are going to, we will talk about it. It just, I find it a lot less compelling. Either way, they're having a nice night. Then Mandy wakes up in the middle of the night screaming.
No, that's the next episode.
No, it's not. No, this set up, and then they have the payoff in the next episode. Mandy wakes up screaming in the middle of the night.
Oh yeah, she does. You're right.
We just watched this episode.
But Roger also had woken up worried, and he checks his office and he knows that things have been disturbed in the chest that has all the letters in it.
Big shocker.
Exactly. This is the chest that was there when you left Sir Philip alone with it, you dumbass.
Either way, Mandy wakes up in the middle of the night because her psychic twin, whatever the fuck this is,
Jemmy.
Yeah, well, they're not even twins. But she wakes up and she's like, I don't feel Jemmy anymore. He's gone.
And they immediately think that William McKenzie took him. But no, in fact, it was Sir Philip. And he'd made up the whole play date thing. And so they start trying to figure out like what Rob knows about time travel. Rob Cameron knows about time travel. And what he would have gotten out of the notebook. And they're like, oh my God, is he thinking Galus Duncan?
And we'll talk more. But essentially, they get there. William and Roger get there.
Cognigen. That's where they go.
Yes. And Roger finds Jemmy's scarf and is like, fuck.
Yep. Goddamn. They've gone through the stones. And so that's the end of the episode. What were your best parts?
Roger and Brianna. And it auto-corrected to Willis. William seeing the horrors of battle and him being a stand-up guy afterwards.
That's exactly what I had. Good. So what were your worst parts?
Rob Campbell. The fuck? cheap fake-out death for Jamie. And boring. Like,
yeah,
God, this really episode.
Yeah, but mine were the general. I found him obnoxious. Not necessarily General Frazier, but the other guy. Sir Philip and boredom.
What I have to say about this episode is that this whole subplot with Roger and William does not need to be here. No. In my opinion, like, not that
maybe
the actor,
there's something we don't remember from the second half of season 7, maybe.
Not that the actor isn't doing a good job. The actor's doing a fine job. I'm talking about the fact that they had enough drama building up for this of Rob Cameron could have been the creep lurking, or and that's why the kids trusted him at dinner and whatever. And Rob Cameron is the one who, and you, they have the, all this stuff outside of William. It's not like Rob Cameron was like, you're housing someone who time traveled and I want to learn or whatever. Rob Cameron doesn't know about William. It doesn't matter. The only like change that was made, it, like literally the thing I would change about this plot line is if William wasn't there. Like, not that he's a worse part, but
we're talking
like,
William
what's
McKenzie,
point?
Not Wee Willie Fraser.
No, he's fine. But like, I'm talking about how the fact he doesn't add anything for me. He just wastes time.
No, and it's just one more like.
Hey, remember this guy that we briefly mentioned, and also we've recast him.
It's yeah, like, it's
what
like,
are you talking about?
Of course we don't.
He's not necessary.
Like, I mean, if
like
you,
why
if
did it have to be this person? Why did it have to be anybody?
Or you, if you were able to pay for Graham McTavish to come back and you know, be this guy,
that would be
that
different.
Would be worth it.
That would
they
be
did not do that. It is bullshit.
Correct.
And so, yeah, I'm just not into it. So let's move on
no,
to
overall grade.
Oh, B. It was a D. yeah. So
we're back here now.
yes. Sorry. So we're at season 7, episode 8, Turning Points. Okay. Turning points in what, we don't know, because like even after the end of this episode, I'm like, this is not really a
reading
turning
it because
point
it's done super quick. Either
yeah.
way,
go.
Roger finds out. Sorry, Roger already knows. Roger tells Brianna about Jemmy and going through the stones and all that stuff. Brianna obviously freaks out,
and Roger's like, "I'm gonna go get him."
And he's like, "You stay here with Mandy," and I'm like. That is the least Brianna thing I've ever heard. Like, literally.
Like, what kind of
what are you talking
bullshit
about?
Is this?
And then she just does. I'm just like, what do you mean? What
it's
do you mean?
So dumb.
That
it's
doesn't make any
so
sense.
Dumb.
And they try to, like, justify it in the next part of the season because there's stuff that happens in the present timeline. Mm-hmm. However, I'm just like, that's not Brianna, though.
No, it really is not.
Not that she would want to endanger Mandy by going with her or like her coming with them, but I'm just kind of like,
but they've
drop
traveled
her off with
in
Fiona.
Right.
If you're planning on coming right back after you find Jemmy, just drop her off with Fiona.
Right. I mean, if you feel like, but if she needs to have that connection, then take her with you. I mean, it's just dumb.
They have the psychic link. Maybe she would be able to help you.
Yeah, like find him faster.
Like, what do you mean? Either way, she freaks out and Roger's freaking out and he figures out that Rob Cameron probably saw the musket ball because the musket ball is gone from the chest, the gold one.
Yeah.
And he had opened the letter talking about the gold and he probably took Jemmy so
because
that he would
be able
speed
to find
him
it.
To the gold in North Carolina in the 1700s. Right. You did not have to go through the fucking stones to find that gold unless you have already looked and it's not there anymore. That doesn't
Right.
make any goddamn sense to me.
Nope.
That just came up to that just came to me. Like, you don't need to time travel to find
right.
the gold.
Well, right. Unless it's been taken.
That, exactly. And I mentioned that, but they haven't checked.
Right.
Why add the extra effort of a month-long journey when you could take a several-hour plane ride over to North Carolina and look?
That would make some sense, but that is not what's happening in this show because it's Outlander. It's a time travel
show. You
also
don't have to kidnap a kid for that to happen. You could have just interrogated the kid about where the gold was. The kid wouldn't pick up on any social
right.
cue about that. You could just, hey, be like, hey, I heard that you and your grandpa used to hang out in caves in North Carolina. Like, what was that pirate game that you guys used to play? Your dad said it, and I don't remember. And then the kid would finish the sentence for you. I'm so fucking smart.
Yeah.
Or
okay.
These people are so fucking dumb.
Ding.
I think these people are so fucking
they
dumb.
They are so fucking dumb. And by the way, we're also in the bad wig Brianna phase. She has a number of bad. You know how like Claire had bad wigs
it's
in the 60s?
It's the volume problem.
Yeah, it's
the, it was fine before.
It just is not now.
But right this episode, for whatever reason.
I think the next several episodes are going to be like this, where it's like, she must have had like a haircut in real life or something, and something went wrong. And so they got her like really, really bad wigs. But in any case, that is, yeah, Roger, Brianna, and they all go to the stones, and Roger and William McKenzie go through the stones, and that's the end of it. Storyline. The past storyline only has one good part to it. So why don't we get the Claire and Jamie part out of the way?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not
Stop
that
the Claire
part.
and Jamie part.
So Claire does have a good moment at the beginning of this episode
She
when
does. She does.
Jamie was knocked, it was awake. He's not awake. He's alive. And there are looters trying to take stuff from him, like the portrait of William, which he carries with him into battle. Not a picture of Bree,
No.
which is kind of bizarre and shows favoritism, but fine. Either way, he was knocked out by a horse, apparently, we find out later. And the looter is, when they realize that he's still alive, Claire comes up and like holds him at sword point. It's like, fuck off.
Yeah, you leave him alone. He's my husband. Go away. And then she sees that he's injured, but she also yells at him, which this is the best part to me, is she yells at Jamie and she's like, your fucking hero complex is like gonna get you killed and I'm not okay with it. You think I like just following you around all these freaking battles all the time? It's insane. You
See,
need to stop it.
you
You
think
were
you're
supposed to
doing.
stay, yeah. You were supposed to stay behind the lines with the riflemen, but no, you go charging in.
That I get, but like I was just like, in general, you've changed your tune about the fact that you were like, yeah, I understand you want to build a better world for Brianna later on, and now she's just like, you fucking asshole, I can't believe you've dragged me into this. It's
Yeah.
just like, Claire, you've
Well,
had this
she's
conversation.
upset in the moment because he's hurt.
I understand that, and that's fine.
Right.
And he just has a cut on his hand and some bruising. He's fine.
Yeah, it's a cut that needs stitches, though. It's potentially pretty severe. But he finds out that the charge that he was involved in actually saved a whole company of men. And so he's like, hey, it made a difference. I'd give a finger for, saving even one man. And she's like, oh, I just love you so much. Oh, Jamie. So that's a lot of the Claire and Jamie thing. The only other thing that happens, well, I'm sorry, that there is a second battle of Saratoga. In this second battle, they take the fort back. And in that process, Jamie's instructed to shoot General Fraser, which of course is his cousin, and he doesn't want to do it. So he takes aim at some other soldier and shoots the hat off, and we find out it's William. And so he's like, fuck, 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 fuck. But he does lead a charge onto the battlements at Saratoga. He goes over the wall, doesn't do very much, but he is saved by young Ian,
If
who,
this was a darker show, they would have killed William in this moment.
yeah, they would have. They didn't. They didn't. This is not Game of Thrones. This is Outlander.
Lady may need glasses.
And Lady may need glasses. So they take back Saratoga, but in another rifleman shoots General Fraser, and General Fraser wants to, see Jamie before he leaves.
Also, very briefly, Claire meets Benedict Arnold and is
Oh,
kind of
yeah.
sympathetic towards him because, well, I'm going never going to be remembered because the generals don't let me be remembered. And then she's just like, okay, I feel for you, you poor soul.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of recent historiography about Benedict Arnold, hey, his bitterness about the Continental Army is based on the fact that they didn't really take care of him after he was injured twice, same leg, basically
Yeah,
leading
that's really
charges in the battle,
unfortunate.
and he gets injured again in this Second Battle of Saratoga, and this is part of what prompts him to become a turncoat later. But she's already discussed the fact that he was a turncoat, and this is a big deal, and we need to let him because then we win part of the war. But he there's a bunch of history about that anyway, that Claire doesn't know, and is not relevant to this show at this time. So General Fraser's dying. He wants Jamie to come see him. They're escorted. Claire and Jamie are escorted to his tent where he's dying. They speak Gaelic to each other. And Jamie and Claire, they talk to Willie while they're there. And Willie's kind of like, oh, gee, yeah, battle's not what I thought.
And then Jamie is just like, he overhears William be like, oh yeah, that son of a whore who
No, guy talking to William. So
no, I said Jamie overhears him talking about
but
it.
William says his hat got shot off by I guess one of the son of a whore, whatever. I don't remember the son of a whore part, but
whore son is what he said.
Yeah. Continental Army person.
Either way, Jamie overhears this, walks up to William and is just like, yeah, sorry about that. Here's a hat. And he's just like, what?
And Claire's kind of like, why'd you do that? And he's like, well, I've almost killed my son now twice.
Okay, that's, yeah, sure, whatever, man. Either way, and then the general guy is just like, well, actually, that guy who you were just calling a whore son is actually a pretty dang good guy. And it's just like, why are you saying this? He could just infer that.
Well,
like, from,
and,
like,
and
how
knows,
he just behaved.
But he knows Jamie anyway. So part of the surrender terms at Saratoga is that Jamie and Claire are supposed to take General Fraser's body back to Scotland. And they're like, yay, we get to go back to Scotland.
And I'm so sorry, but like, what was the point of making the plan to go to Scotland?
So they can say, yay, we get to go to Scotland. And so the one subplot that is actually good about this whole past timeline is young Ian.
Mm.
So in between battles of Saratoga, he is asked by Claire to take some goose grease to the hunters because they're treating somebody who needs it. And he's like, and Claire's kind of like, you can take it to Rachel if you want. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah,
ooh,
I'll take it to Rachel.
Yeah.
And he goes, and Rollo, of course, is along. Rollo's the bestest boy. He's so good. But Rollo kind of comes in. She's like, oh, and you brought your friend with you. And they are, he drops the goose grease. They go to pick it up, and then they kiss. And she's like, you should, and she slaps him. You shouldn't have done that. And then they're like about to kiss again. And they're like, we shouldn't. And he restrains himself. And he's like, and she goes to touch him. He's like, you shouldn't touch me because if you do, I'm going to take you and we can't take that back. And she's like, okay. Yeah. And so she's very breathless about it. And then she's talking to her brother, Denzel, about like, hey, you need to pray for me. And he's like, well, if you got involved with him, if you married young Ian, the kind of guy that he is, you'll be put out of meeting. I mean, I'm already put out of meeting. It's bad. This whole Quaker thing, I don't know of any meeting that would accept this. It would not be okay. And I want to have you in the fold with the Quakers.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of like, okay, is there another option? Like, are my only options just like not to be around him? And he's like, well, we're just gonna have to worry about it. So when this comes up that they're gonna take the body back to Scotland, he goes to talk to her and she's like, that's so far away. And he's like, well, I need for you to do me a favor. You need to take care of the bestest boy. You need to take care of Rolo. And she's like, of course, because that means you'll come back to me. I'm going to be at Valley Forge. You can find me there. And, please, come back to me, whatever. In the colonies, after they part, she is walking down the road with Rollo and comes across old guy, yes, Mr. Bug, you may remember, who had vowed that he was going to kill young Ian when he had something worth losing besides Rollo. And he sees, oh man, you got this dog. This guy must really like you a lot. I hope he comes back to you. Yeah, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, I'll kill you both. We also get to see them on the ship, the Frasers and young Ian, and they arrive back in Scotland. Yay.
Yay.
Yay. That's it. This is not a very meaningful episode in any way.
No.
And it's supposed to be like this big cliffhanger that's like a turning point. In what way is this a fucking turning point? Other than the time travel thing for Roger, there is nothing about this that I would consider to be like a big deal. Or like unpredictable in some ways. Like, yeah, you're in Scotland. Yay.
Well, then you're going to go back to the army.
Yep. Because that's the thing. So what were your best parts of this episode?
player badass at the beginning. Denzel, he's cute. He's sweet at least.
Yeah.
He's like, he
talked about it.
He talks to Claire at the beginning about how, I don't know if I'm in the right profession because I really don't like losing patients. And she's like, but you saved so many more. That's what matters. You can discuss Denzel in a minute. I think that he's like grounding Rachel. I don't think it's a malicious thing what he's telling her.
No.
But I mean, it's just the truth of like their circumstances. Rollo, he's the bestest boy. Rachel and young Ian, they're very cute. I actually like felt a little bit like, oh, okay, with young Ian, like right before, because like it was a very Bridgerton answer, let me put it that way. Like, yeah. When she asks him, like when he's just like, no, please don't touch me, and she's just like, why not? And then he just goes, because then I'd take you and I wouldn't be able to stop. I'm just like, whoa,
exactly.
That's some romance novel shit that I've been missing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I kind of found that with like Roger and Brianna's foreplay in the last episode of like the younger kids are doing it right.
Yeah.
And it's not like, so you can write that way. So why aren't you giving us better shit with Jamie and Claire?
Because they assume at a certain age you become boring or that's people don't boring. Like you having sex. Which, you know, the way you're writing it, you're right. I don't want to see
but even like Bridgerton, the tea you're having. It's like, fuck yes.
Exactly. But of course, that's a new relationship too. And I don't think they know how to write an established relationship in a way that is still
fresh.
Fresh, but again, Roger and Brianna are established. I don't know. It's dumb. But anyway, we have issues with the writers. I think we have made that abundantly clear.
There's a kitty on the ship.
There is a kitty on the ship. I was very excited. We had to back up and watch again.
And we finally reached Scotland at last.
Yeah. So your best parts were what?
I just said
I'm sorry. My best parts were Rollo being the bestest boy. He is the bestest boy. Young Ian and Rachel, I really loved their like attraction. They are
forgot.
Like, it's really cute.
It's cute.
And I do love I love Roger in this. Rihanna.
Completely neglected Roger.
Yeah, I love Roger in this. I think, you know, the cousin stepping up. Like he while he's not a real character, he's also not a bad guy. So I'm kind of like, well, he's not terrible. And young William, again, I think he's getting a sense of the bigger world, and that's a good thing.
I also am liking, in general, the theme for William being a divided loyalty that he doesn't realize is divided yet.
Yeah.
Because he has had these moments where it's just like, oh, like he was talking to Brianna, and Brianna's like, it's actually a gray area, war is a gray area, and he's just like, no, it's not. And then later on, he is seeing the gray.
Right. And even the conversation he has with
John Gray.
Yeah, but the conversation he has with Claire is kind of like, you know, I'm really very torn about like losing the general or whatever, and she's like, war is bad no matter if you're winning or losing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just bad.
And I think just generally, like, he is just being more interesting. I don't know.
He's
just
a more complex
interesting
character than he was previously. Now, whether he's gonna hold on to that or not in a way that we like, that is what the second half of season 7 is all about.
That is a question.
Well, it's not all about. It's partially about, because there's a bunch of weird that's coming, which, you know, actually this might be more intriguing than I think. What were your worst parts again?
Cheap fake out death, Mr. Bug, and Brianna staying behind. It just feels out of character for her. Not to say that like I have the benefit of hindsight of like knowing what goes on in the present timeline in, or at least parts of it in part two, but without knowing that, it just feels out of character.
My worst parts were like a lot of the war stuff. It felt a tiny bit recycled. There's a lot of repetition, I think.
Speaking of repetition, there's also that moment at the fire, around the fire, where one of the guys is like, you want to know how bad the British are? And shows his fucking
scars on his back. And it's like, wow, it's like Jimmy.
It's the one all over again.
Yeah, yay. Yeah, there's a lot of repetition. I was a bit bored with some of that. The cock blocking bothered me. And, honestly, I understand that it's a reality thing, but poor young Ian has just not had a good row with it. And how this happened, like, one of the things that he says like after he kisses her and she's like, you know, he's like, she's like, well, you know, what was that all about? And he's like, what, you're in love with me? And she's like, I never saw that. And then she's like, clearly. And she's like going to reach for him. He's like, don't touch me right now. Because like the stuff's going to happen.
Yeah. Hormones.
All the hormones. And, you know, I felt bad for him for not like having, I mean, I felt good about him as a person, but I still feel bad for him because it's like, damn, this poor guy. Yeah. Like,
he's not had it easy in love.
No, he has not.
Because, well, let's look at his relationship timeline. Because he lost his virginity and then immediately got like knocked out and they burned down the print shop. The next like tangible thing he had was with Emily. Multiple miscarriages, and she broke up. She completely like broke up with him without his knowledge,
and had his baby had without telling him,
and had him banished. Did. And then Malva fucked him.
Yeah. Oh my
and
god.
And Malva's awful. No matter what they want me to believe.
No,
and
she's terrible.
And then there's this random bullshit with well, not bullshit. This is the good
this
one.
Stuff with Rachel,
where they're being like, pulled
come
apart.
On. So yeah, I mean it's just rough. Poor young man. What grade did you give this episode?
I gave it a D+, but I don't know.
I gave it a C-. And I gave it a C- because at least something happened.
I guess. It moved stuff forward and it had a little bit of character growth, I guess.
Yeah.
And I will say, I like...
It could be just that there was some romantic something and I'm liking it at the moment. I don't know.
I also, like, the threads that are still laying out for part two, like them going after Jemmy, sounds interesting.
It does.
And the whole thing with Mr. Bug and Rachel being in close proximity, that's gonna be an interesting one because we like Rachel.
We do like
Rachel. Youngian with Rachel. So I mean,
well, and I failed to mention this. So right before William's friend gets shot in the head next to him.
Oh yeah.
He's
This was last episode.
Yeah, William's friend on the battlefield is like trying to like calm his nerves or whatever before the shooting starts, and he's kind of like, "Oh, you like a girl? What's the girl's name?" And William says Rachel, and it's like, "Oh,
yikes!
Oh, this is like your traditional Outlander, you know, like
have we really gotten that kind of thing before? I feel like we haven't gotten a true love triangle with all parties being good people."
Yeah, but William's not wholly a good person.
No, I'm not saying everyone's, like, great. I'm just saying, like, people were supposed to like. Like, you have the Jamie, Claire, Leary thing. Leary's not a good person. Frank is fine until they had a 20-year-long relationship and they were both miserable. And so that love triangle really dissolved. And then this is, like, the most true love triangle-esque thing that we've gotten
with the Indian guy
unknowingly. Yes,
poor guy.
But
we're setting another one up for young Ian. That's terrible.
Yeah, but young Ian's winning, so I mean it's not like that bad.
Still, it
could
sad.
Be worse.
It's sad. Anyway, so yeah, I guess that's true. Anyway, we've got Bridgerton. So, like, when this episode gets done, Bridgerton Part 2, Season 4, Part 2, should have aired, and we will have watched it, and we will be recording.
I would also like to say the trailer has come out. Do we want to discuss?
There's a trailer, and then there's a release scene that we've looked at as well. So, let's talk Bridgerton for a minute.
Oh, yay.
it is what got us started.
and we've never stopped.
So, the trailer for part two has
come out. Oh, that looks
out.
Good.
It does.
Good.
And you know, it's interesting. You know, I noticed in our last episode, the last episode I listened to of ours is the end of part one.
I saw it.
And we've gotten a big argument about what the timeline is going to be like in part two. And I think that argument is still here. I don't think they've given us a clear timeline.
No, they have not.
I did see an interview with Yuren Ha and Luke Thompson, where they were asked, like, what is the episode in the second part that
seven
you guys
and one
yes,
Benedict said
seven.
Benedict. Luke Thompson said seven because it feels so different. I think that's when
That's
that's the
gotta be
reason.
the death. It's
The
gotta
death
be.
needs to be like end of episode six so that in episode seven you have the aftermath of it. That's what
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah, well, and I think episode seven is the one that's named like the winter. So
Yeah.
like I think we're gonna have the death end of episode six. There's this, like montage of stuff in episode seven that leads to Benedict and Sophie
And there
being
seems
back
to
in the
be a
same
time
place.
jump, and I'm trying to figure out when that's going to be because there's so
It's gonna
much
be between six
fall.
and seven. It's gonna be between
Yeah,
six
I
and
guess it
seven.
would be because, like, what else?
And I
But
think
that.
there's gonna be another time jump after, like the happy ever after thing that
See,
they
my
often
question.
do.
Yeah, that makes sense. But, like, my question also is we see a ball. And those
Right.
don't usually happen, or we don't
It'll
usually
be
see
in the
the out of
spring.
season
Right. It'll
ones.
be in the spring. It'll be in eight.
The next spring? Interesting. I didn't really think about that.
Yeah.
That's a long time. I don't know. Okay, so clearly it picks up right after what the fuck just happened.
What
And
the just happened?
yeah, he's made her
What
real
the
upset.
fuck are you doing,
And
Benedict? Oh
we
my God. We did gab
in
about that if you're interested.
The original trailer, like the first trailer, that we see her throwing something in the fire. I feel like a lot of people said something about it being the glove. No, it's
No,
not.
it's the note.
It's the
He
note,
was
and
sending her notes, and she's like, no,
he's just
no,
like,
no, no, no.
"Hey, I know I came off like really strong, but
But you want to be my mistress, right?
but you
And
want to be with me, right?" And then he goes up to her in the middle of the street, and it's like, "Hey, you still
hey,
want to be with me?"
and he's like, you didn't answer my note. And she's like, because I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
I want to keep my job. Go away. And he's not having it. So there's that. There are some conversations, snippets of conversations we hear that may be with Benedict. They are snippets from Colin, snippets from Antony. Yay, Antony!
Yeah, it I think
So
Anthony shows up maybe like episode 8 or something. I feel like I've heard he comes in like the last episode.
exciting! I'm.
Which is an interesting what time to
Yeah.
do it because like it's the
Because the
conversation.
conversation sounds like something earlier. That's why
Yeah,
I'm
that's why
thinking.
I'm thinking maybe not, because
Yeah.
what they're talking about seems to feel a little bit more. And also, they're not in mourning anymore. They're not in like mourning clothes, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Dunno.
And so like I
Or
don't
it may
know.
be before they're in mourning that Anthony shows up. And he may show up just in snippets of things, because that happened last season as well, that they were only in a couple episodes.
That's all you really
So,
need, but it's just
yeah.
like.
So he may be in like episode six, but I think part of what's going to happen and what you can hear from that conversation is Anthony, it sounds like Anthony is telling Benedict, look, you want this thing and it's gonna,
She's worth me at
she's
all.
risking everything basically. And then you hear Colin saying, you need to, don't play it safe,
That is
go.
directed towards Gregory
I
because
think that is
Gregory,
too.
I found out from an interview with the actor playing Gregory that he has a crush on somebody, and so this he's it's basically just Colin being like, "Hey, don't be afraid, go for it."
And it may be that Benedict overhears it. He's like
Benedict seems to
I
be
have
in the
said
same
before.
room.
Well, like so it's the kind of thing where, like I said before, Daphne's picking up things. It's like, hey, I should do stuff. What? Except that Benedict's putting together things in like idiotic ways. It's like, dude, you're just dumb.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
He's a guy and he needs to figure that out. And
So yeah, I
so
mean,
we seem to be getting like so episode 5 is gonna be the aftermath of the proposal or
stupidity.
whatever.
Yeah, it's
And
not a proposal.
no.
It's an indecent proposal,
Yeah, that.
maybe.
And she's avoiding him. She probably has a powwow with Alfie about it.
Yeah, there's a conversation. You see her talking to Alfie.
Which
Now,
I'm happy about.
when that happens, though, is unclear. But they are living next door to each other at this point. So,
If Alfie's still working for Aramenta.
Yeah, true.
But
True.
I mean, yeah,
Yeah.
they seem to have some kind of connection at that point. And see, episode 6 is probably more of the same. We're probably going to see more of Michaela's dynamic with in the trio with John and Francesca, because we actually haven't seen that yet. Like we saw her introduction and we heard vaguely about Scotland, but we've not seen their actual interactions yet.
Sure.
So we'll probably get quite a bit of that in episodes 5 and 6. End of 6, I'm thinking Francesca's gonna find poor John ha after having an aneurysm,
Yeah.
which is gonna be really sad. I feel like there's been a lot of speculation about like who's gonna die, and I'm just like, y'all just haven't read
Yeah,
the books.
exactly.
But
Clearly.
I mean, I also like it's not out of the realm of possibility that they kill somebody else and they save John's death for next season, but it just doesn't feel like that's where they're going.
No,
Like
they're gonna
it
kill John.
feels like
They're
if
killing
like
John.
literally he has like the most I'm going to die line in the world of like we have all the time in the world. Like you're gonna
Yeah,
die.
yeah.
Like,
No,
what do you
he's gonna
mean?
die.
You aren't going to die.
He is going to die, and that's the way it is.
And
And I'm
as sad as
sorry, and
that
I hate
is,
it.
I hate it
Yes.
too. I love John. They've made
Yeah.
the show's made me really love John,
Yeah.
which is
True.
even more, it makes it harder. But either way, so we're probably going to get some like tension there. In the poster, I noticed that Eloise and Michaela were standing next to each other. So maybe they'll have some interaction where Michaela's like, yeah, maybe you should give, I don't know, like courtship a try. Maybe that's going to be Michaela's role in Eloise's story of like, hey, put yourself out there. You never know what's going to happen. And I feel like, again, with the
Yeah, I mean, it's
speculation
fine.
about who's dying, I think that the names that have been thrown out is obviously John.
Well, here's another possibility. Say she started the correspondence with Sir Philip while she was at
In
Kilmerton
Scott.
Castle,
Why?
and Michaela is like, oh, you got these letters,
That'd be interesting.
that would be interesting.
I feel like there's just
It'd be
something
fun.
really
I'm
funny.
trying to make this interesting.
Yeah,
I'm
but I
really
mean,
trying.
I think. So again, with the back to speculation about who's dying, there have been a couple people thrown out there. Obviously, we have to kill Marina before Eloise's season, unless they pivot somehow. I feel like the way they could pivot without killing Marina is that Marina just runs away and leaves the children.
I think she needs to
Okay.
die. I've been thinking that
But
for a
then
while,
again,
though,
no
so.
one, not the Bridgertons wouldn't go into mourning for that. Like, no, they didn't know Marina.
No. They're not in mourning for that. They're in
No,
mourning for
Mom, I'm
John.
talking about the speculation, Mom.
Whatever.
The king is another option. The king and queen would cause a mourning period for the nation, but it wouldn't be a
Don't think it is
personal
more.
death for the
Yeah, I don't
king.
think it's like every. I think that's black armband time.
King.
It's not everyone wears black all the time.
Yeah, so it's more than I am like 90% sure it's John.
I'm sure. I'm certain it's John. And I do think that it'll happen probably episode six.
And then Aftermath, episode 7 of like the grieving family.
I think episode seven also is going to be like a turning point for Violet and Marcus because, like, I think Violet might have kind of a come to Jesus thing about, like,
I
what
haven't
do I
been
do?
there
Do
for
I
my
get?
family and
Yeah.
stuff.
And, they're going through some stuff. Francesca needs me, kind
I'm
of
getting
thing.
that vibe too,
Yeah.
yeah.
So I have a feeling they're going to break up and he may go to the homeland with Lady Danbury
That'd
at
be
the end of the
fun.
season, which I'm fine with that
There
too.
are a couple parties that we see. We see
Maybe
one
they
that
may
have
not be balls. They may
no,
just be
no, I know
parties.
that one. There is a ball, but
That might
there's
be
a
the ball, and like John dies at the ball. That could
why
happen.
would he die at the ball?
That aneurysms happen anywhere.
Yeah, but like
You're talking about the book. Like the book, it happens in like in his house. He's about to go to Parliament, and he just falls asleep and doesn't wake up. But
yeah, I don't want it to happen in the middle of the dance floor, is
I
my
don't
point.
either, but this is like drama show. Drama show stuff happens.
Either way, there's a party that we see Benedict going up to Sophie while she's still working there and at Bridgerton House. Spoiler alert, she's not always going to work for Bridgerton House, clearly. And so, clearly, as in, she's going to get together with Benedict at some point.
We know this.
But she also, in the book, leaves their employment because she finds out that about who's fucking living next door, mm-hmm. which I think is going to bring Posey back into the mix, because it was Posey who saw her and then gave her away accidentally. Mm-hmm. And so
I don't think that's going to be till like episode 7.
Yeah, that's what my feeling is. At end of episode 7 is giving, he has either found the glove or
he's found the glove.
Okay. Or she has noticed Araminta, like, or something. She's noticed that they're next door. She is freaking the fuck out about something or other. They've already had sex at this point. Speaking of which,
yes,
I think sex is happening probably like episode 6, maybe early episode 7. Yeah. I don't think it happens in episode 7. No, episode 7 would be a little bit.
5 or 6. I think it's early.
I think it's probably 6.
Yeah.
Because we have to have breathing room after the indecent proposal for her to be mad at him. And then he keeps being there and wooing her. And
relentless.
Yeah, but like in a cute way.
not in a stalkery way.
Not in a stalkery way. And then episode 6, they have sex, and that reframes their relationship, and he finds the glove in episode 7, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's going to be like, no, yes, it will. So here...
At that party, they didn't look like they were in mourning.
Natalie, mourning doesn't last for as long as you think it lasts.
Like a month for the family.
Yeah, there's going to be a time jump. We've talked about this. We've talked about this. Between John's death and when Benedict and Sophie get together, there has got to be a lengthy time jump. And, you know, a lot of it is going to be really boring, like, you know, Sophie working and Benedict moping or pining or yearning or whatever the fuck he's doing. And, you know, Francesca being depressed, and most of the actual conversations are going to be like Violet and Marcus breaking up, or Michaela and Eloise talking about. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of side plot stuff, I think, in that, like,
in that period of time, because that makes sense because it impacts everybody.
Right.
And then end of episode 7 again, he's going to find the glove.
The glove, yeah.
And at what point in the episode, I don't know.
She's going to flee.
Yeah, and then she's going to get arrested.
Yes.
For stealing the shoe clips, which she didn't steal.
Right. And then there's going to be the whole...
I'm so excited for the jail scene, as long as they do.
I read something, someone online, this is probably just more fan theory, we don't know, is that they changed it completely. The jail scene's not going to be the jail scene, but I don't believe that.
I just want a scene that's equivalent to the jail scene of, like, catharsis. Like, it doesn't have to be the exact same. It
needs to have a comeuppance, and
I like the jail scene because it is a moment where Sophie can stand up for herself. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's not under the best conditions, but it's like, well, it's still a consequence of her actions that got her into the jail in the first place. So it's not like it's unjustified, but it's still like, it's dubious. But I love Violet's part in that. Like I like the jail scene a lot. I just need an equivalent to Araminta and her need to have another talk. And Araminta needs to reveal how much money she has been laundering.
Right. And I do think a lot of that. So I think some of that's going to come to light because of Varley. I think it's going to come to light, like, through Penelope. Like, I think that's going to be part of episode 7.
I also just in general think
or the that, beginning of episode 8.
I also just in general think that her being arrested is a really good cliffhanger into the final episode.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting, and then they'll have that whole whatever the fuck they're gonna do. And then we saw, or people have pointed out on Facebook, that they are dancing at a ball. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the same ball that Araminta and all them are going to.
Hyacinth's
also dancing. And I'm assuming this is a Danbury ball. But I was assuming, obviously, I wasn't accounting at the time for a big time jump. And so, into like the fall and the winter and whatever. So, I wasn't under the assumption, I was under the assumption that Lady Danbury was going to have a final ball at the end of this summer season. And then she'd go off and do her thing. And that would be her final farewell to the queen until she's back again next season for like an episode. But I don't know. I don't know when that's going to be. That feels like a finale thing.
Yeah. It's either a finale or episode five.
Well, I no, it's I can see this being an episode seven thing. Like a whole bunch of stuff happens. Like Marcus and Lady Danbury leave, and like all of those things can happen in episode seven, and episode eight, they've kind of like got to rely on themselves to get through Sophie's whatever.
I don't know.
No, the one thing that I really, really don't, and maybe that I am not that like this conversation. So Violet is, you can hear her saying, you can do this, but you'll have to give up your family. And I'm wondering if this is a conversation she's having with Benedict. Is this a conversation she's having with Marcus? It's a little unclear because, of course, you don't see who she's talking to. But if she's talking to Benedict, that's really out of character, I think, for a conversation she'd have with one of her kids.
About, yeah, you'd have to give up your family. We'd never talk to you again. It's like,
Yeah,
that's
like
not
that's
true.
not a Violet thing at all. And so I would be surprised if that was a conversation that she was having with Benedict about Sophie. There are also like conversations in there, where like clearly it's Benedict and Sophie chemistry conversations, which are fantastic. I'm not
Those are
going into
great.
detail with those
No, but
because.
they're great. And also, there's a whole thing with Violet being like, I don't think Sophie is who we think she is.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Correct.
And she'll probably do
Correct.
some digging, and they'll probably have a lot of maid gossip, and it might go to
Do what women
Varley.
do best. Yeah, do what
Huh.
women do best.
And
Yeah.
Varley will probably get in on that, and she'll probably overhear something, and that's probably how Violet will find out. Unless, but I kind of like how in the book, Sophie just tells her,
Well, all
essentially.
she tells her is that she's a bastard.
Yeah. And then they'll put the pe rest of the pieces together and
Yeah,
all
which
that
is
stuff.
kind of what ended up happening in the book too, but whatever.
Yeah. I'm
I'm
excited.
excited about Bridgerton season four, the second half. I think it's going to be fun. I hope it isn't crazy. Because I mean, obviously, having some craziness gives us stuff to talk about, so that's good.
I just feel like compared to last season, we're getting a lot of development for both care of our main characters, and I think
Yes,
that's what
that's
makes all the
huge.
difference.
Yeah.
Because last season, I was excited because I really liked the beginning of it, of like, oh, we get to see their like love arc, and they are really cute, and then oh, then we're gonna get into the drama of like seeing both characters and how they handle this big secret and all that stuff. However, we really only got to see Penelope's point of view for a lot of that, and so we didn't get a lot of Colin development throughout the season.
And we're still not getting a lot of Colin, and it's really kind of disappointing. I'm actually rereading Eloise's book right now, and Colin is like he's very sharp and insightful and stuff like that. And we're not getting any of that, and I think that that's be I'm missing it. And so, again, it's the sibling interaction, which you need to have that. I think for this to be compelling in the way that the books are. In any case, we have a lot to cover. And we have a lot to cover before we even get back to Outlander season seven, part two. So we're going to do Bridgerton season four, part two before we do Outlander season seven, part two. Try to say that three times fast because I'm not going to. But we hope that you join us. And
Cheers.
cheers.